Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into your snap reactions for the quarterback position. So got some good stuff here to dive into, looking at some of the efficiency stuff, as well as kind of the trajectory that some of these guys are on. So I think it's important at this point to kind of take some stock of that. Then we'll see. Going into the off season, we'll be able to reevaluate guys, hit status and all that stuff, but get an idea of where we are at, sort of on that trajectory now, and what's the expectation going forward, how guys are doing versus expectation, right? That can always be a source of value, across our dynasty trades and the like there. So we'll take a look at that right now and just do some rundown of basically some of the general metrics that we use for the quarterback position. So let's start with our PFF grades. And if we look at PFF grades, I think it gives us a good idea of kind of how everyone's playing. There's some interesting stuff in it. I think I might have talked about this in the Allen one. But if you look, or in a Buffalo, in one of the prior podcasts, but if you look in the Buffalo one, if you look at Josh Allen specifically, I think I talked about it with one of the positions with Buffalo, is what I'm trying to say. But when you look at Allen, he's basically exactly the same as he was last year. He's almost the identical player in terms of his grading stuff. Where what's interesting and what I think is different is sort of how that's laid out. So he's number one in points scored. He's leading the league in interceptions, and his turnover-worthy play rate is the highest since year two. It's at 4.2. This year it was 4.3 in 2019. However, his big-time throw rate's way up. It's at 7%. His highest prior number was 6.1. Yards per attempt is actually the highest of his career as well, at 7.8. It's essentially the same passing grade as last year, 90.7 offensive grade overall, 81.8 passing grade, and a 93.1 running grade this year. Compare that to last year, it was a 90.9 overall grade, so slightly higher, fractionally higher there. And then it was 81.9 passing, again, almost to the decimal point, and a 93.6 rushing. Again, that's about a half a point difference. So he's essentially, if you sort of add it up, depending on what you want to look at, he's essentially the same quarterback as he was last year. If you were to spit out the final number, that PFF passing grade tells you he's basically the exact same player in terms of his production. It's shaped a little bit differently. If you look at it, you kind of add it up. In his career, 5.4% of his throws have been big-time throws. 3.9 have been turnover-worthy plays. So you add that up, and that's basically 9.3. Right? A total of 9.3% of his throws have basically either been big-time throws or turnover-worthy plays. All right, so 91%+ of his plays have not been those. Right? When you look at it this year, what you see is everything's up. Right. Big time throw rate way up, highest of his career. Turnover-worthy play rate up above his career average. The beginning couple years was kind of rough. He still did put the ball in harm's way a bit, the last couple of years as well. Probably had some positive puck luck based on that as well. But you look at that total number, big time throw plus turnover-worthy play, it's 11.2. So I think you could read a couple of things from that. You look at the ADOT, it's essentially exactly the same. And you look at the adjusted completion percentage, again, it's right in line. It's a little bit better than last year. It's down from 2020. It's sort of right in the middle there. There's not anything changing that drastically. He's getting sacked a little bit more on his pressures at 14.4%. His career is 14.0%. Again, but he's like, it's him and Mahomes are like the best two in the league at that. I think it's a bit of he's being asked to, he doesn't, he's not getting as many easy buckets, right? I think is kind of what it is, right? The ADOT's still pretty close, but I think you could read into this a little bit more of like they're asking him to, they're not giving him the same amount of space, right? I think you could look at it, Cole Beasley, for example, a guy that could just kind of get open and win quickly, didn't force you to do a ton, but could be that easy layup for you. You could point to this and say, hey, listen, this is a Brian Daboll thing, right? This is the effect of Brian Daboll, sort of forcing him to sort of elevate and do a little bit more on his own. You know, would the turnover-worthy plays be nice if they were a little bit less? Yes. Maybe if he had a little bit better supporting cast, like he'd be asked to do a little bit less, yes. But ultimately, it spits out basically the same number. For fantasy purposes, it spits out the same number as well. So, again, I think you could sort of nitpick Josh Allen, but and I've seen this actually. I think it was like Nick Wright. I guess he's like Fox. He was on the PFF show and he's like talking about how Josh Allen's all this turnover-worthy plays and, you know, making these horrible throws and all these interceptions and leading the league in interceptions. But when you actually dial it in, like he's doing at the high end, he's doing the best he's ever been too, right? So, and I don't think he's like that turnover-worthy. In terms of, you know, in terms of how, you know, relative to the position either. I mean, he's top 10 in the stat, but, you know, you look at guys like Justin Fields, Goff, are ahead of him. Zach Wilson, of course, ahead of him. Tyler Heinicke is the highest. PJ Walker's up there as well. So of the like big time starters, Allen's the worst at it. But again, of the big time starters as well, Josh Allen clearly the best in terms of big time throw rate. For example, the next closest starter to him is 10% lower than he is, right? So if it's a 10% reduction, so he's at 7.0. It's Geno Smith at 6.3. So you, lo and behold, I think the easy sort of conclusion to come to is I have very little concern about where Josh Allen is. I know that has kind of percolated around a bit. I don't have those concerns really at all. So those are some of the keynotes that I had on him. And I just want to sort of dive deeper into that, because that's been something that's kind of percolated around. Dak Prescott, it was a rough start to the season, but he's settling in. He hasn't cracked 300 yards yet, which is interesting. He's got multiple touchdowns in the past four games, nine total. In that stretch, in the four games that he's been back, he's averaged 20.5 safe leagues points, which is your 6-point passing touchdown, negative 4-point interception, and he's at 20.4 expected points. So that's right on expectation. That's quarterback 11 in expectation. But if you look, it's like a couple of point difference between, like, there's a huge tier there where everyone's kind of clumped together. So feel pretty comfortable with him. Again, I think maybe in this offense, in this iteration, in prior iterations of this offense, you had legit quarterback one type ceiling. I think you lack that this year. It's tougher. You know, you don't have a full Michael Gallup. You don't have a full Amari Cooper, right? When you look at prior iterations of this offense, you just lack, enormous outcome just because I don't think you have force multipliers in this offense like you have in prior years. But I like where Dak Prescott's at. And I think he can be good here down the stretch as well. Next quarterback here to talk about is Trevor Lawrence. Quarterback 7 in expected points, up to 21.4 expected points. He's at 19.5. So that's trending better. Again, you could sort of look at a couple of things from this. I will always err. And I will always err to the side and quarterbacks to the side of, I need you to prove it to me a lot, right? And I think that that's a couple of things sort of in that. And I've thought a little bit about the Russell Wilson experience with this too. I need you to prove a lot to me to sort of trust you at quarterback. Why? Because if you're haven't proven a lot, but you're really expensive, that's super dangerous from a dynasty value perspective, right? So if you're way up at the position in terms of cost, but you haven't done it yet or haven't established yourself at least with, you know, one of the metrics we look at is like, have you finished with a top six season? You know, have you finished with two top 12s, right? Those are the places I begin to feel pretty comfortable with that, with your trajectory going forward, right? That's just classic AOD applied, right? That's just, you know, using our studies and what we found in the data, like that's where we have a really high degree of confidence going forward that you're pretty dependable, right? At least from a floor perspective, right? Those profiles have pretty sturdy floors for longevity. And tend to be the quarterbacks, right? They mirror the quarterbacks that are pretty good. So they have good longevity typically, right? It's rare that you see actually a Derek Carr profile, which is, I think maybe last year was the second hit. I'd have to go back and look. But for a long time, he had just really been like one season, and it was like a borderline top 12 hit. He had a really good season they got hurt in, so you kind of call that a hit, and then he basically fizzled out and didn't do it again. In terms of actually getting on the board for a top 12 seasonal finish, that's a pretty rare accomplishment, right? It's quarterbacks will sort of steady out into that quarterback two range, but it's typically they have to come from up high to sort of level out there. Teams don't typically allow that to sort of settle there unless you've had some of that quarterback's pretty established, which is kind of what you see with guys that have gotten up there. Like Andy Dalton's the classic profile of that too, right? Got way up at the top of the position, sort of leveled out. Right. That's much more common than a guy who's never really got up that high and sort of leveled out into that range. So again, what do we draw from that? We want you to prove it to us to a really good finish, preferably two. I think a back half quarterback one finish is a really dangerous accomplishment for a quarterback, especially a young one. It makes him really expensive. And if done right, or if done, you know, if they sort of are a positive beneficiaries of variance, right, that can, you know, mask some concerns going forward. Joe Burrow was a bit of that for me last year. You know, the back half quarterback one finish on high variance is one of those things where you're like, if things don't change, that looks a lot like a low end quarterback two, right? Again, I think he's a better quarterback than that, but from a fantasy perspective, like that's can be tough. Now he's got a huge volume boost, and that's good. You know, that's a good indication going forward. But so with Lawrence, what are we looking for, right? We're looking for a top six seasonal finish. We really need him to get on the board for a top 12 this year, and he's trending in the right direction. Again, I do full season-long stuff. My historical studies have been I had used FFPC. That was kind of before the football guys or it was before really the Safe League stuff got popular, and I just used the season-long metrics on it. And if you look at Lawrence, like he's at 17.6 points per game, and he is at quarterback 9 overall. When you look at his per game stuff, you sort of take that out. That's right on the quarterback 12 number. And so when you sort of look at his points per game, when you look at his total points, that's going to be sort of right in that range, right? You got basically he's 7 points ahead of the guy that's at quarterback 12, which is Daniel Jones. And then he's about, like 17 points or so ahead of, you know, the guys there after Cousins, Rodgers, you know, Tua's down there as well. And some of those guys, what's that, Brady, Carr, like that's that sort of range of the position. So is he out of the woods yet? No, I don't think he necessarily is in terms of a hit. Again, this is a sub 7 yards per attempt quarterback. We can be dazzled by the comeback, but let's sort of boil down what we have. It's still one of those profiles where you're like, okay, has he gotten to our key benchmark yet? He has not, right? And when you start looking at it, if I told you, you know, guy hasn't thrown for 7 yards per attempt yet in his career, how do you feel? Just those two statements, you feel, okay, well, that's kind of a concern, right? 3 games in his career over 8 yards per attempt, right? A lot more games under 5. Those things are concerns, right? He's had some good games, but when we're applying AOD principles, like this is one of the spots where we have to be very cautious. So, and we've seen that a bit, right? We've seen the comfort in the market slide a bit for him. and really for the quarterback position in general. Like I'm wondering, you know, we've seen it be what 9-10 guys be in the first round of startup drafts. I don't think it's going to be the same probably going forward. You look over at Keep Trade Cut, for example, the 10th quarterback's at 28. You know, we'll see when real drafts start firing how that actually boils out. But Lawrence, you know, off of that basically being kind of that first round pick valuation, he's slid down to, you know, that's 28 overall now. You know, relative to the position, he's still good, but he was part of a position that was really overcooked, I think, and that's a pretty dangerous, you know, that unproven first round pick at quarterback, first round startup pick at quarterback, that's a dangerous thing to think about. So you also have some concerns about that with a guy like Justin Fields, who's quarterback 7 right now over at Keep Trade Cut, right? That's a thing you have, you know, a healthy amount of skepticism for when he hasn't proven himself more than like, you know, 6 games in his career. Again, I like what he's done, but you have to have that healthy bit of skepticism. So again, you look over at the rest of the position here in terms of the guys up at the top. We'll just hit on Cousins as well, by the way. Cousins, his lowest yards per attempt, 6.7 since 2013. So that's not great. Highest turnover the play rate since 2014. Worst quarterback rating since 2014. Worst PFF grading since 2017, which was his last year with Washington. I kind of wonder what the team does going forward. Right. When you look at that, you have a healthy amount of like, okay, is he basically living good? Again, it's the same conversation we just had, right? Which is, okay, is he checking off the benchmarks? Is he living on the good side of variance? Yeah. Right. Like, and that's a dangerous place to live. Right. That's a dangerous place to live. Again, I like Kirk Cousins as a dynasty asset. I think he's cheap and underrated. But as an NFL player, I really find it interesting about evaluating him. Right. And he's sort of that real life example of how do you feel after the season? Is it a bit of a winner's curse to sort of double down on him when he was basically, you know, when I think really the thing is he was living good. Right. Like I think he was living to the good side of variance. Right. There is some concern when you have to invest in that. You know, for example, you look at Cousins this year in terms of like just look at some of the, the metrics. Right. Some of the actual football metrics here. Cousins ranks 22nd in expected points added. Right, that's not what you would necessarily think given what their record is. He ranks in terms of success rate, he ranks 17th. In terms of CPOE, which is completion percentage over expectation, he ranks 16th. So again, kind of right in that middle quarterback one zone, or middle quarterback two zone, right in the middle of the position. It's a bit of skepticism you have to have, right? A bit of skepticism which you have to have about that production, especially when it's basically he's really outproducing what they are really outproducing as a team, what he's done as a quarterback. So I think that's an interesting lens that we're gonna have to look through here, you know, going forward. So those are some of the specific notes that I had coming off of just looking at depth charts this week. By the way, Tyler Heinicke continues to do it, but do nothing basically at the quarterback position. It's pretty wild there for him. Let's take a look here at some of the metrics that we have. Again, just take a peek here at our expected points added metrics, right? That's expected points added in the NFL, right? So actual expected points added in the NFL. It's different than our fantasy points against expectation, which we'll talk about in a minute. Our top guys here, Tua, Mahomes, Allen, Prescott, which is interesting, Garoppolo, Jalen Hurts is 6th, and those are on a per dropback basis there. Burrow 7, Geno Smith 8, Derek Carr 9, Tannehill's actually 10, Lamar Jackson 11, Daniel Jones rounding out top 12. You look down at the bottom, the worst, we'll go worst basically up, is Mayfield, Mills, Wilson, Wentz. Stafford's actually the 5th worst. Matt Ryan, pretty bad down there as well. Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones, Taylor Heinicke, and Russell Wilson. So on a per play basis, Russell Wilson's probably not as bad. I think he hasn't been good, but he's probably I think some of it has been pile on him. Again, the offense is bad, don't get me wrong. But it's funny when you start looking at him. Like, it's people are sort of enamored with Tyler Heinicke, and Taylor Heineke's like way worse relative to Wilson's production. So it's just the narrative of which the lens which you look through it. Maybe it's that Taylor Heinicke doesn't refer to himself in the third person. I don't know. Success rate, when you look at that, again, that's a different metric, which is basically the amount of your plays which are successful. Think about that as like staying ahead of the sticks. That's where Wilson struggles, and Wilson's kind of been that. The bigger EPA per play than the success rate, that's kind of the a little bit of the boom or bust type profile at quarterback, right? So he's the fourth worst in that. Mayfield, Mills, Wentz, the two Wilsons, Mac Jones, Derek Carr is actually way down in that as well. Again, Derek Carr, typically kind of a boom bust thrower. And that sort of very much fits with his profile, his production profile this year. Murray is down there as well. Pickett, and then Aaron Rodgers rounds out the bottom 10 in that. You look at the success rate up at the top. Again, Allen, Tua, Mahomes, Prescott, Geno Smith, Garoppolo, Trevor Lawrence. That's good. Burrow, Andy Dalton, and then Ryan Tannehill, again, being like a top 10 in some of these metrics. So completion percentage over expectation. Again, I'm using RBSDM.com's metrics for this. Geno Smith, Tua, Kenny Pickett, Patrick Mahomes, Mac Jones, Jacoby Brissett, putting down a top 6 number there. Dak Prescott, 7. Burrow 8, Jalen Hurts 9, Matt Ryan is at 10. Down at the bottom, again, it's the same cast of characters. Mayfield, Zach Wilson, Davis Mills, Carson Wentz, Justin Fields are at the bottom 5 there. Goff, Carr, Wilson, Murray, and then actually Garoppolo down there at the bottom. So again, Garoppolo basically getting all these easy buckets in this offense. It's kind of been what people have thought about him for a while, right? That kind of checks out in terms of what his production profile is this year. Let's look at some of the stuff for the PFF grading here in terms of the just the overall grades at the position. So just get a peek at where they are. Tua up at the top, Patrick Mahomes, Burrow, Hurts, Dalton, top 5 in terms of PFF passing grades. Next 5, it's Allen, Geno Smith, Tom Brady actually is at 8. Jacoby Brissett, 9, which is tied with Aaron Rodgers. Herbert's at 11. And Lamar Jackson's at 12. Amongst qualifiers there. The bottom guys, no surprise. Again, these things tend to mirror each other and just look a little bit different in terms of what they're looking at, but tend to come to the same conclusions. Zach Wilson, the worst. Tyler Heinicke, Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield, Joe Flacco actually rounding out the bottom 5. Cooper Rush, Mac Jones, Jared Goff, PJ Walker, and Carson Wentz rounding out the bottom 10 there. There's a couple more guys that qualify by the PFF metrics than qualify for those numbers we cited before as well. So I think, like, I don't think Flacco qualified for like those some of the other metrics that I read earlier. Jameis Winston might not as well. There's like a couple other guys in here that are it's right around the line of the cutoff, which they made for one site, not for the other. So so that's some thought process there. Let's take a look here at some of the, you know, what do we like? We like guys that get a lot of play action and can do that well. Teams that are loading up on play action, your highest percentage guys on play action, Marcus Mariota, Tua, Tyler Heinicke is like a big tier break after those guys. And then it's a big sort of group of guys in here of Heinicke, Daniel Jones, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, Dak Prescott tier break, right? Those are really the top 8. And then it's Cousins, Tannehill, basically rounding out the top 10 of the guys throwing on a ton of play action. You look down at the bottom, maybe explaining some of the Brady issue. He's second to worst. He's just ahead of Jameis. Again, Jameis, not that many you know, the sample size is pretty small on Jameis as well, but Andy Dalton's down there at the bottom as well. So that's probably more of a feature of their offense. Trubisky's down there at the bottom. Interestingly, Burrow, they're not using a ton of play action with him. Only 16% of his dropbacks are play action. Mac Jones, only 17% of his. Kenny Pickett, they're not really helping him much. It's 18% for him. Again, Matt Ryan down there, Murray, Russell Wilson. So it's funny, you look at guys, just look at that set of guys for a second and just sort of think about who is kind of underperformed, right? We think Brady's underperformed. You know, Burrow's been good, but Trubisky really struggled. You know, Mac Jones is underperformed. Matt Ryan's underperformed. Heck, Kyler Murray's underperformed. Russell Wilson's underperformed. All guys in the bottom 11 in the percentage of their plays running dropbacks. And all of them, with the exception of Jameis, again, Jameis, it's 14 dropbacks, so I can't even believe he's actually makes the statistical cutoff for this. I don't know how that's possible. But so he's in there, but he's a negative split in terms of his yards per attempt are actually worse on play action than they are on non-play action. The only other guy sort of in that range is actually Kenny Pickett. You know, Kyler Murray, for example, is 2.7 yards per attempt better on play action than non-play action, right? So maybe that's something we should lean into, Cliff, right? So you start looking at some of these things and you're like, hey, who's getting the easy buckets, right? Who's getting sort of some of the easy stuff? And, right, some of the guys that we think are overperforming, right? It's Tua, you know, heck, Daniel Jones is having a better year than we expect, even though he's not really doing much on play action. You know, Tannehill's always up there in terms of play action rate. But yeah, I mean, you just look at like Mariota's overperforming what we thought of him. But those guys up at the top, right, there's a lot more help that they're being given just by the benefit of play action being a lot more effective in terms of producing yardage than non-play action stuff. Some of the other stuff in terms of where do we look for, you know, some easy bucket type stuff, the intermediate passing, right? That's 10 to 19 yards down the field tends to be some of the most efficient stuff. Should be no surprise of who's going to pop up in some of this stuff. It's Tua, Bridgewater. Again, some of these guys are really small sample sizes, and I don't know how they actually qualify for the cutoff via PFF, but there's 39 guys that qualify, and there's probably like 33 that we care about. But Bridgewater is the most percentage in the intermediate there. Two is the second one. Huh, that's interesting. Let's throw a lot of passes to the most efficient part of the field. Like, that's wild. You know, who's the second best quarterback in terms of yards per attempt on intermediate throws? Tua. So what do? They throw it a ton to the most efficient part of the field, and they do it really well. And lo and behold, Tua has a really high grade. He's performing really well, right? Some of these things aren't that hard in terms of, like, here's kind of what we want to accomplish. Tua is doing a really good job of just maximizing. You just think about this in terms of, this is basically the shot selection stuff in the NBA, right? Are you taking a lot of long twos, or are you taking corner threes? Right, you take a lot of corner threes, those things can really add up and make a big time difference for you. Whereas if you just take a lot of long twos, right, you end up being Syracuse basketball for a decade and not being very good. But you take a lot of corner threes, and all of a sudden, like, those are the really efficient shots. Those are the ones that they're not going in. You know, they're going in at a slightly smaller percentage or slightly smaller rate than you know, your longer twos are, but they're worth a hell of a lot more. And that's kind of what we see with a lot of this stuff. So, you know, so Tua up there, Tyler Heineke's up there as well. He's fourth, Mariota's fifth, Prescott six, Flacco seven, Trubisky eight, Dalton nine, Daniel Jones 10. Again, Brian Daboll doing smart things with his quarterbacks pretty consistently showing up there and getting his guys sort of in the right spot to do all that. Guys underperforming. Again, there's trends here, right? There are trends here. Wentz is the lowest percentage of intermediate throws by a country mile at only 12.5% of his throws. It's a tier break. And then guys in the next tier, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Mac Jones, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Kenny Pickett, Matthew Stafford, Tannehill. This is like the one performance enhancing metric that Tannehill's not like at a high percentage at. Like they do everything really well, except really this one. Goff's in there, and then Brady, right? So that rounds out, I think, your top 11 guys there. You know, not getting the easy stuff, right? Not getting the easy street stuff. And like they kind of keep adding up. So this is almost like the coaching matters aspect of the quarterback position. I think we kind of see that with some of the stuff. And it's some of these are not shocking that the guys are underperforming. Right, Russell Wilson in particular. Right, some of, like if they just sort of gave him some easier, you know, if they got him into some sort of better situations, right? They might just be able to sort of elevate manufacture some better performance out of him than they're doing right now. All right, so let's look at some of the expected points stuff in terms of where everyone is at the position. So again, expected points. These are fantasy points as compared to the expected points added, which is the actual NFL metric. We're talking about expected fantasy points. So we'll look at these both from a overall perspective and then from a passing perspective. So we'll basically essentially take out the running stuff. So give us an idea of a couple of different ways to look at the position. So top 10 guys here in terms of expected points per game passing, Allen, Mahomes, big tier break. Then it's Lamar Jackson's 3. It is Jalen Hurts 4, Kyler Murray 5, Herbert 6, Trevor Lawrence 7, Cousins is at 8, Flacco and Brady are at 9, and we'll just throw in Joe Burrow in there for, you know, because the qualifying thing on Flacco, it's a little borderline. In terms of him actually qualifying for the stat, I'm not sure how PFF sort of includes some of these guys in their metrics, but here we are. So those are your high expected guys. You look at your guys in actual points per game. You know, Mike White all the way up there at number 1, actually at 30.8 points per game. So that's pretty notable accomplishment there with the 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, but well overperforming expectations. So he was expected for 1.3 touchdowns and 200 yards. He went for 315 and 3. So living good, more than twice his expected points per game production so far. After him, let's strip out the one game Mike White sample and look at, you know, the guys with some actual sample. Points per game producers here. It's Mahomes 1, Allen 2, Jalen Hurts 3, big tier break. Burrow's actually at 4 at 24.9. There's a little tier break there, and then it's 23.3 for Lamar Jackson, 23.1 for Tua, 21.6 for Fields, 21.5 for Geno. Kyler's at 20.9, and then it's 19.9 there for Herbert. Lawrence hanging out right around there as well. You see some of the a little bit different in some of the different scoring systems where some of these guys fall. But this is a format that's pretty popular that a lot of us play. So an easy way to look at it. And then so let's look at guys that are basically performing over expectation. So it's no surprise Mike White is the top, but after him, guys that actually have a little bit of sample, Burrow, Hurts, Mahomes, Tua are the top 4 guys in terms of performing over expectation. All of them solidly overperforming their touchdown expectation. That's typically where the stat comes from. Darnold in there as well. Again, small sample, but guys with actual sample, again, Geno is next up. Justin Fields, Garoppolo, Daniel Jones, Josh Allen, kind of rounding out that top 9 or 10 guys there. In terms of performance against expectation, underperforming expectations, we'll go down way to the bottom. Malik Willis actually way underperformed expectations. He was expected for 216 yards. He had 141. So that's not a great sign. Again, really small sample. We're not going to kill him for it. Mac Jones is like the consistent starter that's down there at the bottom. It's really touchdowns there for him that are kind of underperforming. Tyler Heineke's underperforming as well. It's about 2.5 points a game. Russell Wilson, 2.3 points per game. Zach Wilson, 2.2. Matt Ryan 2.1, Brissett 2.1 under expectation, and then Trevor Lawrence is 1.9 points under expectation. 21.2 expected touchdowns for Trevor Lawrence. He's got 16. So again, that you if you feel good about those things regressing, that's one that might regress back towards him. However, he's actually under yardage expected as well. He has 2,727 expected yards. He's got 2,661. So not terribly under expectation, but enough that, you know, those two under expectation yards, under expectation touchdowns, you know, you'd rather them diverge because then you can kind of look at which way is going to regress. You know, the fact that they're both underperforming, a sign of underperformance by the quarterback as opposed to just some wacky variance. All right, let's look at the actual, just the passing stuff here. And just to get an idea of, you know, where we're at, I always like to look at the passing stuff because it gives you, you know, kind of some appreciation for just what, you know, the classic drop back stuff or the classic passing stuff, you know, where guys are, and then you sort of add in the running, but you take out the passing stuff and you think who's sort of checking the boxes in terms of performance from this, you know, from the true quarterback perspective. It's not of the utmost importance to fantasy. It's, I think, pretty important for actual NFL and is a signal of some longevity, right? If you've got a guy that's out there running around a ton but not doing much in the passing game, it gives you a bit of concern going forward, Justin Fields. And you have some, you have to have a little bit of concern about how that ages is really the thing that I think this points to. So expected points per game passing, Mahomes 1, Brady's actually at 2, Flacco 3, again, small sample size. Josh Allen's the next up there, like the third of the actual real starters. Herbert 4, Cousins 5, Tua 6, Trevor Lawrence 7, Goff 8, we'll go with Stafford being 9, Joe Burrow being 10, then Wentz and Rodgers after that. So those are the guys in actual expected points, and then you look at actual points per game passing. It's Mahomes is number 1, big tier break actually. That's more than 3 points per game difference between him and Tua is the next person up. And then it's Burrow is 3. So that's really good for Burrow. His production is good stuff there. Again, he's overperforming in terms of the touchdown stuff, which has been a trend for him of the past 2 years. Allen is right there at 20.1. He's basically performing right at expectation as a passer. Yeah, so that's good in terms of where he's at. He's 1/10 of a point under expectation as a passer. So Herbert's up there as well. He's basically 5th, tied with Geno. Brady's, what's that, 7th. 8th is Hurts. Again, so top 8 production passing-wise for Jalen Hurts. You feel really good about that. An overperforming expectation. Doing so really from a yardage basis too. He's got 25-55 actual yardage. His expectation's 22-65, so he's almost 300 yards over expectation. He's about 3 touchdowns over expectation as well passing. But you really like that as an overproducing passer. He's basically overperforming almost as much as Brady is underperforming yardage wise. Brady's actually expected for 23 touchdowns. He's got 14. So if there's a sign for some potential regression, like Brady's a candidate for it, would sort of be the thing that I would think about. He's never really had a problem scoring touchdowns in his career. So that would be one where you kind of hope that comes back towards the number where he's at. He's 4th in terms of expected touchdowns. He just hasn't really done it. You know, so that's the interesting thing. He's actually 10.6 expected interceptions and he's only thrown 2, which almost seems like a glitch in the matrix. Herbert's 5th. This is remarkable. Herbert's 5th in expected touchdowns and basically hasn't gotten, I don't know if he's gotten 2 full games out of his wide receivers this year. But he's underperforming it a little bit. Again, that gives me some hope going forward. He's overperforming his expectation in terms of yardage, despite playing without his 2 best wide receivers. you know, and he's up there. He's second in terms of expected yards. Again, he's thrown the ball a ton, so that's part of it. 463 is his attempts, which is second most by a pretty comfortable margin over Mahomes on the season there. So a little bit of that is some volume stuff, you know, in terms of looking at that. So, yeah, so that's a, gives you kind of an indication of where the where these guys are overall at the position. And, you know, kind of the direction with which to hope some of these guys will move. Like, I kind of like where Brady's at. Like, I think they can kind of get this right and sort of down the stretch here, figure some of the stuff out, right? That would sort of be what I would hope to see have happen. Let's look at some of the long touchdown stuff. Again, that's one of those things that can be a little fluky and some variant stuff. Again, Joe Burrow leading this with 6 long touchdowns of 40 yards or more. The next closest person is actually Josh Allen. In terms of actual overall dropbacks as well, Joe Burrow's up to 5th this year. He was like in the mid, I think he was in like the mid quarterback 2 range last year. So that's good. You know, good development there for him. Other top producers in terms of long touchdowns, it's Burrow, it's Allen, and then it's Stafford, Dalton, Carr, Mahomes, Tua, Justin Fields are the guys with 3 there, and then a whole bunch of guys after that with 2. Burrow has 4 of the 50 or more yardage variety touchdowns. Stafford and Allen have 3 apiece, and then a big group there with 2. Passing, end zone, actual passing. So this is the number of actual attempts that have been into the end zone. So if you think of like ADOT, balls actually thrown into the end zone. Brissett 1, Herbert 2. I'm sorry, Brissett, Herbert, and Lawrence all tied with 29. So they're all tied at 1. And then Geno, Carr, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen all have 28 and are basically tied with the group there. Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Jared Goff sort of round out the top 10. Guys sort of down at the bottom in terms of balls actually thrown into the end zone. Mac Jones has only got 6. Daniel Jones only has 7. Dak Prescott only has 9. Again, a smaller game set, but things not necessarily going his way in terms of you know, the fantasy scoring there. Jalen Hurts actually doesn't have that many either, although he runs it a ton, so you can't really complain too much. He's got 14 attempts that have actually gone into the end zone and 8 touchdowns. So he's overperforming what you would expect from him in that range. Let's see. And then rush attempts actually inside the 5. It's Jalen Hurts, number 1. Fields, number 2. Josh Allen, 3. Actually, Joe Burrow ranks 4th, tied with Daniel Jones with 7 rush attempts inside the 5-yard line. And that's I think, a little surprising based on what you would think. Lamar Jackson's actually down below those guys. He has the 7th most with 4. Points per dropback. You have overall here, it's Jalen Hurts, Fields, Lamar Jackson. 2 is the most from like just the passing centric aspect. And then it's Mahomes, Allen, Mariota, Geno, Garoppolo, and Burrow are kind of all tied in there. Dak Prescott, the 11th most points per drop back this season. Let's take a look one last thing here before we go. Kind of round out the some of the stats here we're looking at. Let's just sort the custom, just the basically the standard football guy scoring for the rest of the season here in terms of quarterback strength of schedule. So the best quarterback schedules here, kind of down the stretch. It's Carolina is the most favorable. Which I'm not sure how helpful that is. The Jets, again, I'm not sure necessarily how helpful that is. San Francisco, Garoppolo can be helpful. So he's the 3rd best. The Chargers, 4th best. I think maybe Herbert wants to go on a run here, right? That's pretty good. Although it's mostly coming in the next 3 weeks as opposed to Indy and the Rams being the final 2 weeks there of the fantasy season. Let's see. It's also the Patriots here are the 5th best. And then Denver actually has a couple of good matchups here coming up. They get Kansas City twice, who's been a pretty favorable matchup. And they get Arizona in week 15. So some, maybe some potential bounce back stuff for Russell Wilson. Maybe we're going to be optimistic around these parts. That's the best I can offer you. The toughest matchups, actually, Mahomes has the worst matchup. Tannehill, Tua, Geno, and then Deshaun Watson would round out the bottom five strength of scoring ones. Deshaun Watson kind of blends in a little bit more than like he's a full, almost a full point easier than Mahomes is, right? So Mahomes is like a full point against him harder than Watson would be. So again, it's not a huge effect, but I do think like it's from top to bottom. Like if, for example, you look at the difference between Herbert and Mahomes, you look again top to bottom, right? That's 3.5 point difference, right? It's just a lot of points. When you're looking at, you know, you kind of add that up, for example, over the course of a season, that's basically almost a half a win difference, right? So you start thinking about that again, in short sample sizes, it doesn't necessarily might feel that as much, but there is some expectation there that's going a little bit more into the Mahomes face than in the Herbert, you know, in Herbert's face in terms of trying to produce here. So, yeah, so that'll pretty much put a cap on this show in terms of looking at the quarterback position here. Again, kind of a deeper dive this week, more broad, looking at a bunch of different metrics here, trying to capture what's going on so we have a pretty good idea of where we're at. So that'll do it for this edition. All right, until next time, go ahead and check out your all your running back stuff, wide receiver stuff, your quarterback stuff, your tight end stuff. The waiver wire show is out as well. So you got all that content. I think it's like 3 hours this week. It's a lot. I went deep on all of the positions, kind of the post-Thanksgiving. I was carved up, got a lot of energy. He's kind of through that mid-season doldrums, a little bit of that mid-season doldrums, where you're kind of looking for some different things to do. Super locked in here for the stretch run and hunkered into the AOD headquarters and trying to give you as much information, as much help as I can down the stretch, so that way we can print those checks come playoff time. That'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We're going to talk again really soon.